This is in Shiras Adin, a case that was passed in, like, I think it was in the Din Torah of Avram Sherman. So the case was like this. In 1983, someone opened up a restaurant in Tel Aviv with the same name as a famous restaurant in New York. And on the email you saw, I heard that the name of the, that it was called Moshe Peking. I think. I hear he has three lines, but anyway, someone said that's the case, that there was a famous restaurant in New York called Moshe Peking, and someone in Tel Aviv opened up a kosher lemahadrin restaurant called Moshe Peking. Okay, whether that's the name or not, he opened up a restaurant with the same name. The people in New York were very upset. They took him to a Din Torah, and they said, we want you to change your name. That's our name. We have rights over this name. We've used it, and we have those rights. And by you using it over here, you're causing us damage, because now maybe your quality won't be the same as ours. You'll cheapen our name. We want you to change your name. The defendants, the restaurant owners in Tel Aviv, said, first of all, we're sorry, we didn't know that there was a restaurant with this name. We had marketers and they chose this name. They thought it would be a good name. And we had no idea there was one like this in New York. So, first of all, we're sorry. Second of all, what are we harming you? We're not costing you any business. It's not like people are going to call information in New York and, you know, get directions to Moshe Peking, and they're going to say, you know, take an airplane to Tel Aviv and then go down these and talk forever and, right? You know, what are we costing you? You're not losing anything from us keeping the name. And for us to change it after we made all the signs and advertising and everything, it'll cost us a lot of money to change the name from like you want us to. So that was the Shaila that came to the Beis Din in Tel Aviv. He starts with the Note of Yehuda that we had last week. The Note of Yehuda had the Shaila. Remember the Note of Yehuda's case? Right, the Note of Yehuda had Reuven hired Shimon to print his Pirish, Gemara Rashi Tosfos Reuven. Right, that's what he hired Shimon to do. And the way the Note of Yehuda says the case was, where he had an itemized price and he was paying the typesetters a certain price to typeset, put in plates, his Pirish along with Gemara Rashi Tosfos. After it was printed, Shimon had a big business, and instead of just taking the letters out of the plates, he decided to take Reuven's letters out, and he had the Gemara Rashi Tosfos, and he printed a Shas, two Siddurim, with this Gemara Rashi Tosfos. Reuven complained to the Note of Yehuda, complained to Shimon first, that that's not fair. I paid for this typesetting, and now Shimon is using my property, my rights. Ta'an Reuven HaMechaber. This whole idea of creative rights is not anywhere in Shas. So like on our, where we normally have Shas, we have Achron, and on the other side we have contemporary Poskim. It's really a new Shaila. So the Note of Yehuda quotes the case. Ta'an Reuven HaMechaber Yan Shetashlumis Chiris HaMissajim Ba'osis HuMishalim. Since he paid for the typesetting, Vata Lama Yena Shimon Misidah Ha'osis Chinam. Why should Shimon get free rights to his typesetting? So the Note of Yehuda concluded that Reuven is correct. Shimon has to pay the share of the typesetting expenses, because the halacha is even by zen nenev zelo chaser. If someone comes into your vacant house and lives there and caused a little bit of damage there, you can charge him the full value of the rental, even though you weren't planning on renting it. But the fact that he caused a little bit of damage, you can claim everything he wants over here, since this is causing Reuven, this new Shas is causing Reuven a little bit of damage. He's going to sell less copies of his Pirish now, because he can get Gemara Rashi Tosfos for free, and I'm not sure how great this Pirish Reuven was that he's charging extra for. So because of that, he could charge him. And the Note of Yehuda also said, even though the rule is then nen nevizelo chaser is pater, if I get pleasure from you without costing you anything, I don't have to pay you anything, milchachila, you can stop me. Right? If you have an extra room in your house, I can't just knock on your door and say, look, you're not using the room anymore, it's Zen it's Elo Chaser, and you're not going to rent it out, let me live there for the night, I need a place to stay tonight. I can't do, you can say, look, I'm sorry, I don't want you here. Right? So, the Note of Yehuda said both these things. He said, first of all, Reuven, if he had beat Shimon to the punch, he could have told Shimon, I don't want you to use my property, and he would have all the right to say, I demand from you to take off the letters and not use my Gemara Rashi Tosas that I made. And second of all, if Shimon went ahead and did it, thereby causing Reuven a slight loss, Reuven can charge him for the benefit that Shimon got from his typesetting job that he had paid for. So Rav Sherman wants to prove from this Note of Yehuda that what did Shimon own over here? Here's what we were talking about last time. What did Reuven really own over here in the plates? The letters and the metal all belong to Shimon, the typesetter. All he did was he paid to have it done. So it seems what he had was creative rights. He had didn't have ownership of the metal, but he had ownership of the system, the idea that he had worked out. That's what he had ownership of. And that gave him the rights to, first of all, block Shimon from using them. And even if Shimon did use them, it allowed him the right to collect whatever Hanoah Shimon got, assuming that he had some chisaron. So that's his first raya. So the same thing he wants to say over here. If I create a name, I created this name of my restaurant, and you are that, I have ownership over that name, and if you take it and you want to use it, I can, number one, I can stop you from using it lachachila, because Zen Enev is Elo Chaser, should allow me to stop you from using it lachachila, and number two, if it costs me any loss, then you should have to pay me for the benefit of whatever money I put into creating such a name. That's his first proof. Then he brings a second proof from the Shoal Meshav, the next thing on the handout. The Shoal Meshav had a shayla, and this is a shayla that could worry anyone that writes a sefer. Suppose you write a sefer, someone wrote a sefer, and another person went and took that sefer and reprinted it. Especially nowadays, it's easy. You just take a sefer, you take it, it's all photo offset, just take the sefer and print 100 copies, 1,000 copies of it. Does the mechaber have any rights to his sefer? Does he have any way of stopping another person from printing his sefer? It's a famous case. It's another case. We're not going to go through it, but there was a sefer called Ein Habanim Smecha, put out by a Hungarian rabbi about Avas Eretz Yisrael, and it was a nice sefer. But people thought that he was like, it was a little bit too tzioni. So he had so the children, his Yarshim, wrote a Hagdama saying that he wasn't really a Tzioni and he was just talking about Avas Eretz Yisrael, and it wasn't, then you shouldn't mistake him for being a Tzioni. In the meantime, right. So in the meantime, someone in America, I think, printed the Ein Habanim Smecha with a blue and white cover without that Hagdama. So the Yarshim had two complaints. First of all, it's our sefer, it's our father's sefer. It's our father's sefer, so we have rights to it. And second of all, you're being mazik his name, right? So that was the case. So we're not going to go into all the details over there. But stam, I write a sefer. If you write a sefer, can you stop someone else from going and just selling it? Right? The Shaul HaMeshiv says, Zevadai. If a mechaber prints a new sefer, and it's a good seller, he has perpetual rights over it. More than that, if someone invented something, you have rights to that invention forever. And he brings a case that Rav Avram Yaakov from Harishav invented some type of adding machine, and he received royalties for his entire life from the government in Warsaw. So he says, if the Goyim had such a concept that if you invent something you get rights forever, certainly our Torah is even more chashuv than their laws, and we certainly should say that you have such rights. Bottom line, the Shoal HaMeshiv holds clearly that if you write a sefer, you think of an idea, you own those rights to that idea, and you own rights to that sefer. That's what the Shalom Eishiv holds. So Rav Sherman brings that as a second rule, that you see that if you create something, you create an idea, you have rights to it, and you can prevent other people from using it. Just like if I print a sefer, you don't have a right to go just take it to a photo offset and make 1,000 copies of it and sell it. It's my sefer, I printed it, it's mine. So you have no right to do that. So same thing over here, you should have no right to use the name that I invented. Now he does bring that the Beis Yitzchak disagrees with the Sholem Eishiv. Remember, just finished that. Beis Yitzchak does disagree with the Sholem Eishiv and says you don't have any such rights, but he concludes that the Beis Yitzchak is a Das Yochid, and he concludes that all the Achronim, most Achronim hold that there is such a concept as Zchus Yotzim. You do have creative rights, rights to your creativity, and he goes with that Svara. See, the Shas is different because it's not your Shas. He was talking more about your own Sefer, right? So that's a little bit different. So let me just finish what the way the Rav Sherman concludes with this. So he has proven from the note of Yudan Sholem Eishiv that there is such a thing as rights of creativity. He therefore said, once I have certain rights here, we have from the Tosas that we spoke about before, Zenenev Zelachasir, I have the right to stop you, even though Zenenev Zelachasir is Pater, I can't charge you after you were in my house, but I can stop you from coming into my house if I want. So here also, I should, since I have rights to this name, I should be able to stop you from using this name if I want to. This is my name, I thought of it, I'm using it, I'm making money off of it. I could sell it to someone here for the money, so I have rights over it, and I can stop you. But then he concludes, and he paskin not like that, because he said there's a big difference. If I have a house intrinsically is worth something. A house is intrinsically has monetary value. That's where we say, I can stop you from using something that I have of value. When we're talking about creativity, an act of a creativity I own, he brings a diuk from the Sholem Eishiv. The Sholem Eishiv said, Zoch Shadvarim is Kavlop and Eisable, it was a good seller. The Sholem Eishiv only said that you have rights to creativity if there's some value in it, then you could sell it for something, it's worth something. So the same thing, the flip side of that is, the only time I can stop you from using something, some creative rights that I own, is if it'll cause me a loss. Like, buy a house, it's intrinsically mine, so as long as I own that house, I can stop you from walking in my property. It's my property. Creativity isn't called property unless it's worth something, and I can't stop you from using it unless it's costing me a loss, because otherwise it's just something in the air. It's not anything of reality. So he passed in the mice, and he said, Rabbi Yoshua agreed with him that the people in Tel Aviv were allowed to open up the restaurant with that new name, and the people with the same name as the one in New York, and the New York owners had no koach to stop the Tel Aviv people from opening the restaurant in that name. Right, so that is his conclusion. Now, Minchas Tzvi, Rezisros Tzvi Shvitz, his other sefer, we always use the Mishpatei Halacha, so he has a shayla, a similar shayla, and he proves the exact opposite. And I think the other contemporary person agree with him. And he proves that there's no such thing as Chos Yotzrim. There's no such thing as right to creativity. And he brings a raya from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer had a shayla that happened with him. There was a famous yid who was writing a pirush on the Piyutim called Ruf Heidenheim. So he was putting a pirush on the Piyutim. He printed them and read a line. And what happened was he had a few of the Yomim Tovim out, and someone else decided it's a good pirush, and they put out their set of mazurim using his pirush. So it went to a din Torah, it went to the Chassam Sofer, it went to Menachem Benet. They were both dealing with it. Mordechai Benet said, what's your shayla here? Look, you printed these mazurim, and it said that you have rights for 25 years. You said you want no one to print for 25 years, but you sold out faster. You've sold everything you printed. So why can't someone else have a right to make money also? Just because you made money once means that you have a right to make money forever, that you have perpetual rights in this thing you made. Let someone else make some money. Some sort of disagreed with him. Why should it be that you have rights? Why should you have those rights? So one possible reason, if you recall the sugi we learned about Marchikim, Mitzvus HaDog, Min HaDog, the sugi Marufya, that if you have a net out there to catch fish and the fish are heading your way, we learned from there that if you have steady customers that come to your store, another person doesn't have the right to take away those customers. That was the din of Marufia. I have a steady person, a goy that does business with me, and he's steady for me. There was a machlokas rishonim, whether there's a din of Marufia or not, but some rishonim held that way, and so it's a shaila how to paskin that there is such a concept. That if I have a steady person where I make money from, that's my fish, you have no right to take my fish away. So some wanted to say that that's a raya, that this is my fish, I wrote this sefer, I have rights, the people coming to buy this pirish are because I put out the fish, I made that sefer, so that gives me the rights to stop you from taking away my customers. That would be a svara based on what we learned in the past, the marufya sugya. Right, these are my customers, I invented this idea, I made this pirish, and that they're coming to buy the machzor with my pirish, so you have no right to, right, like that net is catching those customers, so you're taking another net and stealing my customers with that pirish. That's what the, I don't know if he himself or Heidenheim wanted to say it, or that was, but that was the shaila. So Rav Mordechai Benet said that's no shaila. The way we understood Marufia was where it's a steady, sure thing that he's going to give me a business. But just because I have customers, so what they bought from me in the past? Who says they're going to buy from me next time? Sam Sofer himself said that the application of Machikim Sudas Adag Min Adag was if someone's in the store ready to make a purchase, at that point you can't go and say, look, I'll give it to you cheaper, or it's cheaper somewhere else, because then you're taking away that store owner's fish. He's ready to make that sale, and everything, there's a piece of gum, and everything's decided. He's ready to chomp on the bid, and you take it away, that's us, that's Marufia. But if they come to you on their own, or and you don't go into them to take away that customer that's ready to make the sale, there's no Isser. So over here, maybe no one's going to buy Mavzorim at all. Maybe no one's going to buy this Pirish at all. So because you put out that Pirish once and you made money with it, so you made your money. You're worried that now you could print it again. Like you say, you could print it again and make more money. But I also can print it again and make them. Maybe they'll come to me, maybe they'll come to you. There's no Isser in that. Even you want to use that Aviyosav Svara that we said, that you can't open up a Rechayim. Right, okay, we'll say that one later. Right, but that's what Rav Mordechai Benet Paskin. He said that these haskamas really don't have any weight, because once you sold out, once you made your profit, there's nothing that stops me from using those ideas and making a profit for myself. So Rav Shpitz says he's clearly see that Rav Mordechai Benet does not hold there's anything called Zuchus Yotzim. There's no such thing as creative rights. Right, he's just dealing with, is it called Marufia? Right, is there some way I can stop you from costing me customers? How about the fact that this is my pirish? I thought of this. This is my idea, it's my chedushim, and you're printing my chedushim? Right, that's paladic when you think about that. Well, see, if you have like handwritten notes and you want to print it there, I think even Rav Mordechai Benet will agree that I can say, I don't want you putting out my pirish, because I want to have control of it. I want to make sure it comes out right. I want to make sure that it's done in the right way. So, you know, that's not a shaila. Here, it was out already, and he's just taking it and, you know, typesetting it himself and redoing it using that pirish. So Mordechai Benet said that it's mutter, it's no problem. The Chassam Sofer disagrees. The Chassam Sofer disagreed with that. He says there is weight to haskamas, but not for the reason that you would think. Not because there's chus yosrim. That's in the bottom of the handout. He says, Midin Yoris is in, he has a few tshuvas, this is from Simon Mem Aleph in Choshen Mishpat. Midin Yore Lum Naso Shel Chaveiro Umarufya Keduma, using these different laws of Yore or Marufya, Ein Hasagas Gul Besvarim Me'atam Shekosam Aram Benet Sham. Rav Mordechai Benet is right. There's no such thing as Marufya over here, it's not for sure, I'm taking away your customers. That's not an issue. Ulam. In order that people that are doing a mitzvah, they're putting out a sefer, shouldn't have a financial loss. They'll lose money if someone else makes a printing. We have a gezeira that people should not print a sefer that someone else printed. He goes further in other Swami said, he brings this Maisa with the Ramah that we spoke about a few times ago. The Maisa with the Ramah, the Maram Padova had printed a set of Rambams, and then this non-Jew was upset at him, why he didn't use him as the printer, and he printed a competing set, and the Ramah Paskin, that since he was selling it to undermine the Ramaram Padova's set, that it was Asur. Right? So at that time, they made a gezeira. This is the way the Chassam Sofer understands. Because of that, 3 years later, it happened. 3 years later, they made a gezeira in Italy that any sefer that's printed has certain rights for a certain amount of years. That was to protect Mechaber Sefer from losing his money. Or, in other words, to prevent people from not printing this sefer, because they're going to put all this effort and money into their sefer, into their chiddush, and they'll sell some, and then someone else can come and undermine the whole thing. So because of that, they made a gezeira by sefarim that you can have rights to for a certain amount of time. So Shpitz says, even according to the Chassam Sofer, you see from the Chassam Sofer too, that it's not that you have rights to creativity, it's just this was a gezeira that they made for sefarim. But if it comes to anything else, if it comes to a name of a restaurant, you're not going to have any rights to that. So Rav Shpitz says, therefore, you can't use this far of Zchus Yosim to say that when I have a restaurant, I have rights to it. And if I don't have any rights to that name, then you can't start talking about Zen Nenev Ezel Chasid, because the Note of Yehuda, Rav Sherman used as a proof. Right? The Note of Yehuda was different. The Note of Yehuda was that Reuven paid for those typesetting costs, and as long as that those plates are in existence, those plates with the letters on it, Gemara Rashi Tosfos, that Reuven paid for, he has rights over. He made them. He paid for them. They're his to some extent, not because it was his idea, but that's because these were the plates that he paid for. But if it wasn't the plates he paid for, suppose it was a sefer and he printed a sefer and Shimon went and bought that sefer and then he's going to go photocopy it. So that's not the Note of Yehuda's case. That's saying maybe I have zchus yotzim, I have rights to creativity, and from the Chassam Sofer we see that there are no such rights. The Note of Yehuda is only a precedent to say that if I pay to have something done and that thing is still in existence, those plates are still there, everyone will agree that Shimon would have the right to take out the letters and then put them back again and print Gemara Rashi Tosfos like that. Huh? Well, if you don't hold it, it's supposed to have some rights up to this point. So he disagrees with the first premise of Rav Sherman and says there's no such thing as Chus Yotzim at all. By a sefer, that's a special gezeira, like the Chassam Sofer says. The Shalom Meshiv, he says, is a Das Yachid. And the Melech should be right to use someone's name. Except, he says, there's another svar. There's a svar called Minah HaSochrin. But the Gemara says in many halachas that if different merchants, different trades have certain minhagim, they become binding. There's a thing called minhag hasofrin. There's a minhag, not din adam achus adin. It has nothing to do with it. There might be a law in the books, but if it's ignored, that's on minhag hasofrin. He's saying there's a halacha called minhag hasofrin. What's the minhag of merchants? So he says, so since there is a minhag of merchants that if I have a certain name that's successful, I can block you either because of trademarks or whatever, I can block you from using it. So wherever there is such a minhag, if it's in the same city, same state, same country, if that's where the minhag applies, so then I can block you from using that name. If the minhag doesn't apply, if it's in Tel Aviv, and the minhag, there is no such a minhag, that because there's a name in Columbus, Ohio, that you can't use it in a lot, Israel, right? So there's no such minhag, so then you would have the right to use it. So they're both agreeing that you can block the restaurant from opening up, but for different reasons. Zvi Shpitz, the Rav Avram Sherman is saying it's because even there is a chus yotzim, you should have the right to block him, except since there's no loss to it, so you don't have the right to block him since it's zen and vezel achos, you can't use that toaster since you don't have any loss to it. The Rav Zvi Shpitz is saying that there's no such thing as chus yotzim, nevertheless, there's such a thing called minhag hasochrim. So wherever the minhag hasochrim applies, you can block him, and the assumption will be that if it's from one country to the next, the minhag hasochrim will not apply, and that's why you can't block him. there's a third way of looking at it, and that's this Mishpatach Eliyakov. He also agrees with the Minchasvi that there's no such thing, well, and for a different reason. He says, even if you want to say there are Zechus Yosrim, even this is what Ari was saying in the beginning, even if you want to say there is something called Zechus Yosrim, the creative rights, that's if you create something. That's if you made something real. But a name, he says, that's not creativity. That's not something. Creativity is you made a music piece, you invented something. When you're thinking of a name doesn't give you any rights to anything. He says, like, suppose you called something Shari Tshuva, you called something the Rambam, right? You called your restaurant the Rambam's restaurant, and it's successful. So you have rights to the Rambam. Like you, that doesn't mean anything. He says your name's Moshe. Your name's Moshe, and you call your restaurant Madone Moshe. Moshe's Delicacies, right? And then Moshe Stern wants to open up a Madone Moshe because he also has Madonim he's serving, right? You don't have that name wasn't creative. It's your name, and you said Madone Moshe. So you got someone. You got these Madison Avenue people to think of a more interesting name, a name that'll make people think of spaceships and space age, but it's just a name. A name doesn't have any rights. Even if you want to say there is such a thing as creative rights, but a name is not something that you created. It's a name. A name's not a mamushes bigger thing. It's nothing that's real. However, he says, you do have to be careful that you can't ruin someone's business. You can't do something, and this is where he uses this svara that we had of Davi Yosef. That we learned before, that if I have a mill at the end of the alley and you can't open up a mill in the beginning of the alley because everyone's going to stop by your mill and no one's going to come to me, you're ruining my business, right? We called it unfair competition, a predatory competition. You can't do something predatory. You can't do anything like that. So he said, same thing over here. If your Madoni Moshe is going to put him out of business or lose his business, so then you would have a taina. But there also, I think we have to hear, I think this was Rav Mordechai Ben-Ezra was saying, the way we understood it also, that's only like Davi Yosef's case where it was predatory, where you're really knocking him out of business, like the case of the Maran Padova, where though the second Rambam was priced gold coin cheaper than all the others, it's for sure going to, no one's going to buy that one. Or the case where you're in a mill that makes so much noise, and you're going to the alley, you know there's a mill here. So who's going to go to the end of the street when there's one right here? It's for sure going to knock him out of business. But in the case of a name, he wants to say that the name would be the same thing as that, but I'm not sure if it's the same because there might be too much of a king's in town, but it's not for sure going to, everyone's going to know that's the real one and that's not the real one, or they'll go to both of them. It doesn't mean it's going to necessarily put me out of business, and because it costs me customers, that we learned before, that I have the right to open up a competing business even though it's going to take customers from you, as long as it's not going to necessarily put you out of business, right? And that we learned. So even though he says, he's saying this third argument, he's saying number three, third argument, there's no such thing as Zechus Yosrim by a name, even though there might be Zechus Yosrim by other things, and he wants to say, but over here by this restaurant you can block him because it's going to put him out of business or it's going to cost him customers. So I'm not sure. He agrees that if it's in Tel Aviv, it might not. But I'm saying even if it's in the same town, you can't use that argument of putting him out of business because it's not going to put him out of business. He'll lose customers, maybe. Right? That's not Oster. The only thing that really has weight, I think, is the Minhag HaSofrim. He uses that at the end also. Minhag HaSofrim is such a minhag that if someone is using a name and he's successful with it, he has an existing business, you can't use that same name. That's a minhag. That's, I think, a minhag in the world. If he went out of business, he brings down, and someone else decided to pick up the name, you know, 5 years later, he liked the name, and then the first one wants to come back into business and he says, what are you doing using that name that I invented? Too bad. Your name didn't have any meaning. You didn't have any rights to it. You weren't using it. Someone took it when it was defunct, and now the minhag sofrim is that you shouldn't be able to use it and compete with his. So I'm ignoring Dina de Malchus Lidin. The first one of this case was in Eretz Yisrael, and they, many poskim hold it doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. So, in conclusion, the main topic of tonight was Chus Yosim. Are there such thing as Chus Yosim or not? The Shuras Adin of Avram Sherman wanted to bring a raya from the note of Yehuda and the Shalom Aseim. The Shalom Aseim clearly says there is such thing as Schus Yotzim. He wanted to bring a raya from the Nodeb Yudah also, from this case with Reuven, with the plates, that there is Schus Yotzim. He said that it wouldn't help this case of the restaurant owner in New York, because Tel Aviv isn't costing him anything with that lambda that he said. However, the other Achronim seem to say, the other contemporary Achronim, seems like it's a good raya from the Psalm Sof and Rav Mordechai Benet. And I hear the chilek from the Nodeb Yehuda that it's not a raya of Keneged that. They hold that there's no such thing as Schus Yotzim. The only thing you could say, maybe, is that there was a gzeira by a sefer, that if you write a sefer, no one has a right to go and steal it, because it'll prevent people from writing Svarim. There might be an old gzeira, an old chayrim or something. But not that because I wrote a sefer, or if it wasn't a sefer, it'd be some direichol or something, that I would have intrinsic rights because I invented it. And certainly the way Mishpatach Liyakov said, a name is even more flimsy, it's more intangible than anything of Schus Yotzim. But we do have to deal with other issues, and that issue would be the issue of, is there a Minig Sochrim, right? Is there a Tcherim because it's something for a Divrei Torah? Those are real issues. The issue of Schus Yotzim is shaky. The same Arufya, it's very shaky. I know the way, first of all, it's machlokes why there is Marufi, and even when there is Marufi, it has to be something that's certain, like Sam Sofer said, he's in the store ready to make the sale, because you're going to cost him some sales. That doesn't seem to be Marufi. It doesn't seem to be the case of Yorin Limnos Chaver, or the case of the Aviyasov. Aviyasov was talking where it's predatory. Here it's not predatory, you're just opening up with the same name. The only thing that he had, which I think is real, is there is a minute that if you have a successful name, people should not use that name wherever, however far the minute goes. And that seems to be the most solid argument to protect your name, but it would only go as far as the minute goes. If the minute doesn't go that far, so then there's not really too much going for you.